and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today we have a guy that claims he lives in Sweden but used to live in England. So we're going to find out why. And he also brought me two short films to go over. We're going to go over his film Alive, and we're also going to go over his short film Second Class. Jimmy Olsen, who's Superman's best pal, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's start.
Glad to be on the show, yeah.
Yeah, so why Sweden over England? You didn't like making films there?
Well, no, I'm born in Sweden, so I'm a Swedish guy. But I used to live in England for like a year or two when I was 20, because I love England, you know. Then I had to move back, so now I'm back in Sweden.
Do you still have an English accent when you speak English?
Yes, I do, yeah. I prefer that. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. That's the way it is.
Well, probably because during the years you were there, this is when you actually worked on your English. I mean, I don't know how many Swedish people speak English. I have no idea. But
we are fairly good with the English language in Sweden. I have to, because we're grown up with, you know, all the American films and English films. So,
well, there you go.
But before we don't do dubbing.
Oh, that's great.
Like the rest of Europe. Yeah, the rest of Europe does that. So
have you seen any Canadian films?
I've seen a couple of Canadian films, yeah.
So how do Canadian accents compare to English accents for you?
Well, I always say that Canada is like Europe combined with the US, you know.
It's true.
And obviously, since it's an old French colony in the olden days, so I don't know. The accent is almost American. It's just, to me, it's just a couple of words that you are. He or she is a Canadian.
I will promise not to tell you or a whole country of Canadians where you live. They will come to get you for that statement. The fastest way to annoy Canadians, call them American. Absolutely. Well, let's get into your film Alive. Let's start. I think we need to just start right at the beginning. Where did the concept come from? It is so different for a short film.
Yeah. So I listened to a podcast and I heard a similar story. And so I don't want to spoil too much, but it's basically about this carer and this disabled woman, the disabled woman wants to, you know, have some sex basically, or intimacy or love, and she wants to have a man at her place, but she doesn't want her carer to be there. Instead, she wants to wait outside. And when I heard that story, it was a similar story. I thought that could be some good drama, because it could be a moralic thing. Are you allowed to leave your client or whatever? And what happens if something bad happens? Whose fault is it, and whatnot? So I found some drama there, and also I think, you know, the theme is interesting, because, you know, when we see disabled people, we're, some of us, for me including, when I was a boy, is like people that we need to take care of, and just a chunk of flesh basically. They don't have anything inside of their disability, and we just need to keep them alive, and that's our job as normal people, basically. So that's a prejudice thing, I see, I think. It doesn't matter what condition you have, or you have normal feelings inside and normal yearnings inside. So I wanted to discuss that, you know, and cross the prejudice we have.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think you sent great tension and comedy throughout your short.
I
think that was good. And I think you did it. I really want to focus in right now on the lady that's in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Now, is she really in a wheelchair or just for this film?
Just for this film, yeah.
Okay, so she's able-bodied, or is she?
Yeah. She's a quote-unquote normal person.
Well, I didn't know exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to quite go there. I'm like, I think everybody's equal. So I'm kind of like, okay. So how did she feel about playing that then? Did she do some research? Did you do research?
Yeah, she did a lot of, she did a lot of research. I did this audition with her, and then we discussed, and then for like a month, she did her research and watched videos and read up on different conditions and stuff and just tried along, you know. And we wrote a background story for her that she used to be a former boxer with a brain damage and stuff like that. So yeah, she really got into it, and she's the kind of actress that really likes, you know, difficult roles. So I think that was interesting for her.
Now I think also remiss, we have good chemistry between her and the caregiver. And I think you were going for a look with your caregiver, too. I definitely think you wanted somebody pretty. I think that was your plan. So could play off that in the script. Obviously, I mean, not saying caregiver has to be pretty. I'm saying for your script, I think it's very important.
Yeah, true.
So,
and given with that fact, you know, I knew this Madeline girl who I knew her for, I don't know, 3-4 years behind, and we had another project 3-4 years ago, and she's really talented, and she happens to be really pretty as well. So yeah, and I wanted to play with the contrast of, you know, able people are, you know, have the freedom to do whatever the fuck they want, you know, when they want, and so there's a scene in the film where we play with that, you know, the scenes with freedom and the scenes with the prison, basically.
Yes, you definitely do. Now, did you look for a certain environment to shoot at? Because I find you definitely have it very tight when we're with the person in the wheelchair. I feel claustrophobic, and I think that was your plan.
Yeah, that's true. Also, you know, we should mention that we shot it, you know, literally no money. We got some funding afterwards, but you know, I wanted to have this because I'm really inspired by, you know, the Belgian and the French directors and the style, the really social realistic style they use with a fixed camera instead of having a handheld, you know, super busy camera. So, but I like the dull. It's beautiful. I think it's quite beautifully shot, but it's quite dull also at the same time, you know. It's you know, the apartment we're using is you know, very normal. There's nothing going on, basically. But I wanted to find something that felt a little bit claustrophobic for her and her environment. That's right.
So when you take this film out, I mean, is it just shown in Sweden? Or is it shown all across the place?
No. We are focusing worldwide now. We are focusing big on the really, really big festivals. So I have a great distributor from Spain, and I've got this great sales agent from the UK called Journeyman. So I'm hoping, you know, this can get big. You know, I'm really hoping for that because I'm really proud of the film. So, I'm hoping for success.
I don't know if this is a strange question for you, but it is for me. In being only an English speaker, a little bit of French, and watching a film in Sweden, I really found I needed the subtitles because I don't really know the language at all. I've never really heard it. Yeah, so you get that a lot when you do Q&As.
No, actually don't. I've been to the States a couple of times with my films, and I've had the question before, but you know, since we are so used with reading subtitles, and I don't know if you saw the interview with the Korean guy Bong Joon-ho.
I thought that was funny.
It was funny. That was funny. Just put your eyes down a little bit. You know, you're gonna see some great films. I don't have a problem with it, and I hope people don't have a problem. If you know, if people like films, since this film is not going to have a US theatrical release anyway, it's going to be on festivals, and people who go to festivals, they tend to watch whatever, you know, whatever language. And you know, who knows, we could we could pursue this and write a feature perhaps in for adaptation in the US in the future. I don't know, man. And I don't know.
Okay, let's continue on. Did you look at other options for the date option for the non-ability person as opposed to Twitter? I mean, not Twitter, Tinder. You use Tinder, but did you look at Facebook or maybe a matchmaker.com? I don't know what they have in Sweden, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, well, Tinder is the biggest thing. You know, everyone knows about Tinder. So that I didn't actually think of any options when I wrote it. I wrote the film in 90 minutes, so I should have thought of some. But, you know, Tinder is good. Tinder is good. And you know, when Tinder started, it was basically just to get laid, like Grindr, basically. Now it's like a proper dating site. But you know, like 5 years ago, if you want to get laid quick, you use Tinder.
There you go. See, I'm old and married, none of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, me too, man.
I don't even know what that is. I know it's an app. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so you say you wrote this in 90 minutes. Now, did you feel that maybe did you rewrite it, or nope, that's good to go? You write that fast?
No, I wrote it, and then I called the actresses, and we worked on it for a couple of sessions, and rewrote a couple of lines, obviously, and they when they read the script, it was fine, and then when we acted and played out the script, we changed a little bit of this and that, but all the scenes are still there. I cut out one scene because it didn't bring anything more to the table. So it's basically, I could have waited to develop it in like a couple of months more, but I'm not sure if it would have been better. I just wanted to go with the guts.
Now, at one point, the caregiver's person, I remember, wrote down their names. Do you have a photo of her Tinder date? Who is the photo of?
Me.
That's you.
Yeah. Because in that photo, I look like, I look a little bit angry because I tend to do that on photos. But, it was a choice we made because we didn't have any money. And, why not? We have a tattooed guy, you look angry. Yeah.
Did you was there any scene ever to show you in the film other than that one shot of yourself?
Yeah, there's a scene when she discovers a guy coming into the building. In the script, it's more developed that we see him a little bit more, but I wanted to keep the tension of, to the audience, that they will build up the rest. So if they see him and just enough, and then there's more tension to it. If we see him too much, then we get used to him and we create sympathy and empathy and everything. So I just wanted to keep it on the line. Just, oh yeah, that's him. I've seen him. I recognize him a little bit, and then we see him just a slightly bit more. So I wanted to, stay on the line on that.
Fair enough. I want to discuss a little bit of your lighting technique. I mean, you do give me very claustrophobic. Are you using just regular lighting? Because I don't see any stage lighting, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, we had a couple of small, it's very natural lights. I like that. But we have some small LED panels as well to boost some shots. But I really like to work with natural lighting if it's possible. It's a bit of a trend in Sweden to use natural lighting as much as you can. Then it's all about, to expose, to have a good DP who knows how to expose, in natural lighting. It's not that easy as it looks. It creates a more, realistic feel to it, I feel. That's why I like.
I agree. Before, I do have to ask, at one point, the female lead, the other one, is having dinner with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
What is a Hulk pizza?
I'm at the place right now where we shot that scene. And it's on the menu. It's a It's a funny name. It's also, it's I can ask, vad är det på Hulken pizzan? Vad är det på för ingredienser? It's shrimp, ham, cabbage, and tomatoes.
Thank you.
And some, you know, taco mix, like a spicy mix.
I've never heard of that. So is it? Have you ever
heard of it? No. It's a Swedish thing.
Fair enough. Have you ever?
You guys don't have that weird pizzas in the U.S.
I'm not in the U.S., so I'm in
You're
Canada.
In Canada.
We do have weird pizzas, don't worry. But not that I've heard of that nature. Have you ever ordered such home pizza?
I never ordered that. I always order the same thing. It's a shrimp toast. Like a shrimp toast. Like goo on shrimp goo on toast. That's the only thing I order here.
Fair enough.
That's my favorite.
So in shooting at that restaurant then, you had no problems getting that location, obviously, since you're there all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's a nice location as well, so why not?
No problem.
But actually, in the script, it was written in the kitchen of the couple, but I just wanted to have some different, you know, some more colors and, you know, just to have something else, you know?
Fair enough. You leave us a really nice joke at the end of your short.
Yeah.
I thought that was the funniest thing in the whole film.
She's taking back control, you know. She's with that line, she's owning up to herself, basically. It's up to her to decide what she wants to do, you know, and that's why she says it.
Now, would you see there being a part two to this film?
I haven't thought of it, but if you have a good premise, you know, why not?
Well, I think there definitely is. I think if you took your lead character and broke her up with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And had them both going on Tinder dates?
Yeah.
I definitely think you have something there.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's actually interesting because the caregiver, she had an idea that we should have an ending shot with her and her boyfriend and the disabled woman and the Tinder date, you know, going on a double date thing. And I thought it was too cute. So
I think that's too cute. I think they should go with just because you could do a whole 20 minutes on them trying to date.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
even speed dating for that matter. Send them both on speed dating?
Yeah, why not?
I definitely think you have lots of possibilities. Because, I mean, your other character is so much fun. And I think you let her come out at the end, finally. I think at the beginning of the film, she's not allowed to become herself. I think she's just too frustrated.
Yeah, true. That's true.
So there you go. See, I gave you some ideas for your next film.
Yeah. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to contact you. I'm going to harass you with script notes and everything.
Feel free. I may never answer you, but you can go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, you brought me a second short called Second Class.
Yeah.
And you, like, flipped me on my ear. Like, this thing is intense.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. That was my last film. It premiered, like, it's on tour still. It's been on tour for 2 years now. And, you know, it's been a massive success in the independent festival circuit, actually. And I'm really proud of that as well. But, you know, in 2017, when the Charlottesville riots were happening, I got really, really angry and frustrated. So I wanted to do something. I wanted to write something about it. And since we have a huge problem in Europe and Sweden as well with racism, obviously, we, you know, all over the world. So I wanted to, and then I found that metaphor thing, you know, the balloon scene. And I thought of that because I remember that trick from when I was a little boy. And I thought, yeah, it could be a good metaphor of, you know, love and hatred and, you know, truth. So, yeah, so that's why I did that.
Okay, let's bring it right back to the beginning. We're going too fast.
Yeah.
Bring me when she's looking for a job. Your teacher is looking for a job. She gets hired right at the beginning. Now, did you have a school location in mind? Is it easy to get a school in Sweden? How does that work?
My producer, his mother is a principal, so it was quite easy to get that school.
Uh-huh.
And we shot it in the weekend. So that was quite easy. I just wanted a school that, you know, looks a bit old school, you know, with because nowadays kids don't really sit in classrooms like they used to do, in, you know, facing the teacher in that sense. So I wanted to, because in every film you've ever seen, it's like, you know, we have 20 or 30 kids and they're facing the teacher, but nowadays they're sitting around round tables and doing, you know, work by themselves and stuff, you know. So I wanted that old school look of it.
I got it. Now, again, let's discuss. You mean you seem to be looking for powerful women in both the films I've seen. This may not be your forte, yep, but this is what I think it is. Again, yeah, you had to have a very distinctive looking person in this film.
True.
Now, where did you find her?
I found her in Gothenburg. That's the Sweden's second biggest city. She works for the theater there. So we actually, there's a friend of mine who recommended her. So we did this Skype audition thing. And I just had a gut feeling about her. And she, you know, she looked a bit frail and you know, she looks like a nice person, basically. And also she's a good actress. So I found her there in the theater. And she hasn't done lots of films, mostly theater, but you know, she adapted really well.
Now, we were talking about racism in Sweden when we first started this. You had to do a march outside in the cold. It looks cold, yeah, when you're shooting it.
Yeah.
Now, how were people reacting to watching that?
That's funny because, you know, we had a small crew and we couldn't, you know, we didn't have money to close up the street.
So well, that's what I was asking.
There were a lot of, you know, civilians. And actually, after one of the takes, two people came up to me and wanted to beat the crap out of me.
Ah!
Yeah.
I can totally believe that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, it's just film. So, yeah, it stirred up some commotion, basically.
And you explained, did the same people get to see the lady getting pushed down by the I guess, Aryan race gentleman?
Yeah. By then, you know, people around us, they kind of knew that. By then, they knew it was a shoot. So it wasn't a problem. But there were people around looking at it. And we tried to inform them as much as we could. So it was all right.
Now, you have a very distinct look for your Aryan race guy. Like, he, nothing against him.
Yeah.
He has the look.
Yeah, I do have the look, yeah.
That's you again?
That's me again, yeah.
Oh, my God. You gave yourself, like, look like a hairy ape in one, and now you're looking like a leader of an Aryan race.
Yeah. And, you know, the hairy ape one, you know, I actually saved my beard and hair and everything for, like, 2 months to do that small, you know, role. And in the second class, I got, you know, that's, and I'm. So basically, my producer said, you should do that. And I was like, oh, hell no. And the AD said, yeah, you should do it. You look like a Nazi. Yeah, well, that's true. I do. So I thought, why not? Let's try it. And I had a backup actor who's a real actor if I failed. But I think I pulled it off quite nicely. It was very horrible to do. I felt sick, you know, physically ill, because, you know, shouting at a woman and at a human is, you know, it's not a thing I do. So it was horrible. I'm never going to do that again.
Now, do you always cast yourself in your films? I've seen two films both of them.
No, this is... It happened two or three times. So it's just, you know, it's not going to happen that much in the future. But the thing is, when I was 14, I wanted to be an actor, and I tried a little bit, but you know, I'm not that good. But now, that was like 25 years ago, so who knows? Who knows? If someone has a good role, yeah, I might try it.
Oh, there you go. Do you plan on taking this to schools, this film, when it's done the festival circuit? It looks like it'd be a good film for a school to show the classrooms and things.
It's been around a lot of schools in Sweden. We have this thing called Film Center. They distribute to schools, so they took the film on, and it's been around for a year now in schools. And Amazon picked it up a couple of months ago, and you know, a couple of other streaming sites as well. So it's been doing really well, and I'm very thankful for that.
For the thing in Sweden, do they rent to the schools or do they just give it to them?
It's a municipal thing, so it's governed by the state. Basically, we have private schools. We have, the state run schools are still the largest.
No, I meant, do you get money for it if they show it?
Oh yeah, I guess.
Okay.
In a couple of months, I will get a receipt.
Perfect. That's what I was looking for. Now we're on board. Yeah. Now we got it. So, I guess my next question is: I mean, you're in Sweden, you're making films. Yeah. How do you get them out there? I guess the interwebs are the best way to do it. I mean, are there film festivals in Sweden? I presume there is.
Oh yeah, we have. Three big ones: Stockholm, Gothenburg, and Uppsala. Uppsala is the fourth city population-wise in Sweden, and that's academy qualification festival as well. But you know, I tend to go straight for the big ones abroad. So if I get a distributor hooked on, then it's game on, man.
Fair enough. Okay. Are you ready for some fun questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Because your first time on the show, I always ask the same first question. What's your favorite film?
Stalker by Andrei Tarkovsky.
And you know what's funny? You do shoot like him at times.
Oh, yeah?
I could totally see Stalker in your film.
Yeah.
In the first one, for sure. So tight. Yeah. He's so tight, too. But he's got very long shots that you don't have yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
well, you'll get there.
I like long shot.
Yeah, he doesn't. I love Stalker. You have no issues from me. Number two, what film made you want to be a director?
Breaking the Waves by Lars von Trier.
Oh my God, you're really going deep. Okay.
Yeah. The funny thing, you know, I saw that, if I have some time, I saw that in 1996 when I was 15 or 16. And after seeing the VHS in some morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I picked up my jaw, and I was like, "Fuck, you know, films can be more than entertainment." I didn't know that. And then, you know, I started to watch all the art house things, and I just tried to pursue where can I learn this. So that was a beautiful, beautiful night.
Fair enough. If there's one actor, female or male actor, which one would you prefer to work with, and who?
Can I pick both?
Yes, of course. Both I give you all. It's your show. Talk all you want.
Yeah. Well, it's my dream to work with Tom Hardy, because he, even though he's a big guy, he's such a talented actor, and I've seen, you know, lots of. You know, he did a film called Lock a couple of years ago when he's in a car. Love that. And you know, obviously Meryl Streep, because she's the best actor in the world.
Good luck on Meryl. I think you can get Tom Hardy. Meryl might be open.
Yeah. Could be hard, yeah. Could be hard.
So please tell everyone before you go where they can find your films.
Well, my website, it's www.regissor.com, regissor.com. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm regissorjimmy. That's the easiest way to find me. I think.
Hold on. Aren't they available on Amazon?
Yeah, a second class is available on Amazon in the UK and the US.
There you go. You got to get these things out.
And Alive is so new, so we don't know yet where it's going to be available, but hopefully everywhere.
Exactly. Everywhere is the right answer.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time, and you have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.